All right, welcome to August 28th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and for the next 5 minutes, I will talk about America, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I assembled this podcast from beautiful San Diego, California. If you're looking to move here, I would recommend you check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. As a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So check out the website, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com, and then give her a call, 619-507-4906. And now let's begin the show as we customarily do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags if we have one, put our right hands over our hearts, and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. America! And now moving on to today's headlines. King delivers I Have a Dream. Founding Father Wilson dies penniless during the Panic of 1796. The NFL's first preseason OT sudden death. And the Grateful Dead and Janis Joplin play at a funeral. All right, so now let's do this. 1963.
Free at last! Free at last!
MLK delivers I Have a Dream.
In 1863, President Abraham Lincoln executively ordered the Emancipation Proclamation, which freed 3.5 million slaves. But as Martin Luther King Jr. pointed out in his world-famous speech that took place right underneath Lincoln's feet at his Washington, D.C. memorial,
but 100 years later, the Negro still is not free.
In 1961, freedom riders began hopping on interstate buses headed south to challenge several court cases giving black people the right to ride up front the buses. Some were beaten, but the movement was legislatively effective. Now, across the nation, the Birmingham Campaign of 1963, by King's very own Southern Christian Leadership Conference, folks watched on television as demonstrators were being attacked by dogs and policemen with large water hoses. King would be imprisoned in his demonstration and wrote, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." The peacefully mighty MLK got together with the League of American Labor Council founder Philip Randolph, and the idea for a march was in the works. But this was no ordinary march, my friends. King and Randolph assembled what they called the Big Six. Roy Wilkins of the NAACP, Whitney Young of the National Urban League, James Farmer of CORE, the Congress of Racial Equality, and John Lewis of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. You don't have to be a history buff to realize that with these people, MLK took Mahatma Gandhi's advice. King had prepared his speech the night before, estimating around 150,000 folks would be there. Try 250,000 people. Popular white rock musicians Bob Dylan and Joan Baez played, along with all the other speeches, and then came Martin Luther King Jr., the man of the hour, the tower of power, too sweet to be sour. He spoke as eloquently as any natural-born leader in history.
Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty!
King referred to the Bible and the U.S. Constitution, using the proper tone and cadence that sets him above the greatest orators in history.
In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
As Lincoln's statue sat above him, Lincoln himself could not have been prouder.
No, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream.
Free at last! In the end, he didn't need that speech he had written at the wee hours of the night, because he knew exactly what he wanted to say.
I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification. One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today.
Yes, considered one of the greatest speeches ever, and led to the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Amazing grace indeed. '98. Founding Father James Wilson dies of a stroke. He was chased by his bill collectors at a friend's house during the Panic of 1796 and 1797. Born in Scotland, 1742, James Wilson immigrated to the colonies in 1766 and became a prominent lawyer and land speculator. By 1774, Wilson was well established in the colony of Pennsylvania as a successful orator and wrote a booklet called Considerations on the Nature and Extent of the Legislative Authority of the British Parliament, where he argued that the British had no rights to tax the American colonies without representation. A year later, Wilson was elected to the Continental Congress and would eventually sign the Declaration of Independence representing Pennsylvania. For the rest of the 1780s, he became president of the Illinois Wabash Company as a land speculator and served as a delegate of the Democratic Republican Party in Philadelphia. In 1789, he became one of the first associate justices at the Supreme Court. He was heavily active in drafting the Pennsylvania Constitution in 1790. But being an aggressive gambler already heavily in debt, things started turning south for Judge Wilson. In 1796, the land speculation bubble burst in the new United States, while England, who was fighting with France, was dealing with deflation that triggered a financial collapse. The Bank Restriction Act of 1797 in England squeezed the country of gold and silver. Commercial firms all over the United States began closing down, and the bill was due in full. Robert Morris, actually, he was one of the major financiers of the American Revolution, wound up in prison after being unable to pay for a bad land deal in western New York State. Judge James Wilson, who was never forgiven by his creditors, also served some time in debtor's prison. The panic would lead to the much more forgiving Bankruptcy Act of 1800, which wound up being too forgiving and was repealed in 1803. But by then, it was too late for Judge Wilson, signer of the Declaration of Independence, who died on the run from his bill collectors at a friend's house in North Carolina on this day, 1798. 1955. Dare I talk about a preseason football event on a U.S. history show? I probably shouldn't, but I'll do it anyway. The Rams beat the Giants 23-7 in the NFL's very first preseason sudden death. See what I did there? And finally, 1967, in San Francisco, the Grateful Dead, along with Janis Joplin's band Big Brother and Holding Company, play at a funeral for a Hell's Angel who died after getting hit by a car. Talk about putting the fun in funeral. And so that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for August 28th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's program. For instance, I have a dream. Have you ever heard that speech in its entirety? It'll move you to tears. Or what about that story about the Grateful Dead and Janis Joplin playing at a funeral? And no, I don't think the Dead played Hell in a Bucket. So yeah, let me know what you think. And while you're there, you can check out some of the multiple choice quizzes. So let me know how you do on those. Now on to tomorrow's program, I'll talk about Hurricane Katrina, a 3D printed thing, and the second Battle of Bull Run, so don't miss that. In the meantime, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. My Twitter handle is JDUSHL. So until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. We'll see you then.